What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Dr. Funk live podcast. Thank you guys so much for subscribing on iTunes, on YouTube, on Spotify, and everywhere else you get the shows. Today, we have a one-of-a-kind guest. I'm very thankful to have him on. It's just an honor. Cannot wait to bring him on. It's going to be the one and only Morris Day. Thank you guys for just tuning in. Make sure to just leave the comments where you guys were from. Make sure to chat amongst yourselves, because basically we're just going to be answering questions directly from things. We will try to get to some that are in the chat, but for the most part, it will be already asked from beforehand. I thank you guys so much for staying on Twitter and on other social media platforms. Excuse me, formerly Twitter. What time is it? It's about that time. That's what it is. What's going on, everyone? Thank you guys so much. Just going to wait for more people to get into the room. Hall of Fame question, please. We will get those. Don't worry about all that. But we've been trying to get Morris on for a while, pre-COVID and other things. So I appreciate his time and energy being brought into this, and we're going to do him proud. All right. Without further ado, I'm just going to get him in because I know that, you know, his time is valuable. So without further ado, thank you guys so much. Here is the one, the only, the legend, Mr. Purple Legacy himself, Morris Day.
My man.
Good to see you, sir. How are you doing?
You as well. Man, I'm doing good, man. You know, life is good.
Yes. So here it is. You got these Purple Legacy shows coming up in Las Vegas, taking over Vegas again. And what's going to be different about these shows from your other concerts?
Well, you know, we're just going to, you know, have some fun, bring some other people, you know, out, you know, and just things that we just normally don't do, just by way of us sitting in Vegas and you know, and not having to move, you know, from city to city. So, you know, we're going to make these 2 days very special and, you know, just give folks something to talk about, you know.
Let's give them something to talk about for sure. On that one. Yes. Now, are you going to have, that you can tell us, any special guest at this show?
Yes, absolutely. You know, but, you know, we're just kind of keeping it under wraps. Let's just say it's a surprise, you know.
A surprise that they're going to have to do it. There will be special guests. They just have to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's going to be a great show.
Hey, there'd be some grown men, let's just say, and some sharp dressed men, hint, hint, you know, so it's going to be good, man.
That's always good. Sharp dressed men, sharp dressed women. Yes. And I've seen you so many times over the years, whether it was private events for South Park's 10th anniversary, Las Vegas at Studio 54, when you had a certain friend from back in the day join you on stage. Those shows were a trip. I just, so much from it, just because I would see you at all these different things and you took your time with it. And that's what people don't understand, is you're still a high performer on a high level. And a lot of people wish they can have that longevity that you have. Any secrets?
You know, just, hey, you know what? The secret to me, for me, is just, you know, enjoying life, man. And, you know, and realizing, you know, that you're in control, you know, as far as, you know, moving your fingers and moving your mouth and shit like that. But, you know, God's in control, man. And for some reason, you know, we've been blessed enough to be involved in a situation that, you know, has really withstood the test of time. I've been blessed enough to really be involved with some special people, Prince being one of them. You only get one of those kind of individuals down the pike every so often, and you know, driven. You know, I really, there's not enough adjectives to describe this dude, but you know, he was a major part of my life. you know, met him at an early age. And, you know, he taught me a lot. You know, he was younger than me, you know, but just taught me a lot. Work ethic, you know, driven, you know, and just a super talented, super driven guy. And, you know, and then it spills over from there. You know, the people that we kind of innocently brought into the scenario, Jimmy and Terry, who knew, you know, Jesse Johnson, you know, and right. Jerome, and just, you know, very special people, man. And I was just blessed to be involved, you know.
There's so much of that to unpack for sure with all the talent.
Now, those are the suitcases. You got to open them up and go through them after that. You know, I'm just putting the suitcases out there, man.
See, that's how talented you were and all the guys were that people don't like when they start talking about what's your favorite Prince protege, people will mention Sheila or other people because the time is so bleeping good.
Yeah.
It's like they're on their own. I could just imagine like when you had Jesse and Prince in the studio, I know that you kept Jesse kind of hidden in his playing from Prince for a bit, right? Just because you guys were a little bit afraid he may be like, no, I got to get someone else.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I was in a band, you know, after the Grand Central kind of split up and I did Champagne and all that. And we, you know, we disbanded and I was just doing gigs, you know, and the guy, Maridi Holmes, you know, I was in his band, Enterprise Band of Pleasure. I was a drummer. And, you know, he told me about Jesse, you know, because he knew we were putting the band together and we had done the record and stuff, but I was still gigging on the weekends. And he said, I know this guy, man. He's like from the Quad Cities or whatever they call that shit, Rock Island, Illinois. And he said, this guy has a 3-band trio like Hendrix. He said he has them leave the stage and he does like 20-minute guitar solos. And I was like, that's sounding like my guy right there, man. I need to meet him. So, you know, he had Jesse come up to Minneapolis. Jesse, you know, had to come up. He lived in, you know, my little townhouse that I had, you know, and, you know, I didn't have much space, but I let him take over the living room and stuff. And we did a few gigs with Enterprise and I taped a few of the shows and I played them for Prince. And he was like, that's our guy. So I wasn't hiding him from him, but you know, it was just, you know, I was just kind of, you know, just investigating, making sure he was the right one. And sure enough, once I heard Jesse play, it was a no-brainer, man.
For sure. From the whammy bar that we hear about from 777-9311 and so many different things that he brought.
Incredible. Incredible.
Just a great ensemble with that. And then you guys had it, you know, where you were away for a bit or doing this stuff and you came back together, the whole name changed, the original seven. And you had the whole band together. Can we see maybe something like that in the future? Is that something that you hope to see? Or now,
you know what? Yeah. Now listen, you know, my latest venture is called Last Call. Mm-hmm. And you know, the talk behind it is it's Last Call, meaning my last record. Mm-hmm. I say that I kind of mean, you know, really on the solo level, the way I've been doing things. And I'm saying that to say that, you know, if something pops up with the guys and something that makes sense, you know, that's my blood, man. That's, you know, so I can't, you know, sit here and say, hey, no, I'm not entertaining anything beyond this. I'm only speaking really about, you know, my solo recordings. And, you know, aside from that, if something pops up and the guys want to do something, I'm always the first one to say I'm in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, other things the last time I saw you live was at Paisley Park New Year's Eve. And I know that you performed there several times over the years. That was one of the last people that he had there was you guys performing. How is it when you perform there? Like, I know that you have fun, but you're just like, the energy sometimes feels so interesting there. That's why I'm asking that, especially nowadays.
Well, yeah. And you know what? That's it's not the same, you know. So when I'm, if I'm looking around then in that space, at any time beyond Prince's passing, I'm just kind of looking like, I'm looking how, you know, things can be commercialized and capitalized on. And you know, when I walk down the same corridors that used to be very personal and private, and now to see, you know, that they're just kind of, it's just not the same, you know? So if anything, it's that. And, you know, it's an emotional trip for me, you know, at times, you know, just to know that's the space that I recorded a lot of stuff, not the, you know, good stuff per se, because that was after the money, and the real good stuff was before the money. But it's still emotional just to know that's, you know, basically my brother from another mother, you know, and I work like that, and, you know, he's no longer there. And to see that it's somewhat of a commercialized spot now. So, you know, it's just kind of double-edged for me. It's kind of a bunch of mixed emotions bouncing around when I'm in there.
Right. Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Now, something you brought up was like the music that you put together, whether it was therapies or other stuff. How much stuff would you say, if you can, that's unreleased, and what would you like to see be released that hasn't been released yet?
Good question, but I'm going to give you a bad answer. we cut so much stuff.
Wow.
That I don't even remember. I don't even know what he has stashed or had stashed in the vault, you know, if you will. I don't know. I don't know, because what we did, my man, was we cut every day. And, you know, and he did that with so many people, but I can speak, you know, on my behalf, so much stuff. I mean, we live somewhat close together. I couldn't even run into this dude, you know, at the grocery store. You know, I'd be ducking because, you know, we lived in such a small community that I would see him at the grocery store, and I'm thinking I'm gonna have a night off. Hey, you know, I'm gonna, you know, spend some time, you know, with some girls or some shit. And he's like, you know, see me, like, Morris, you coming by tonight? We're gonna cut. And I'm thinking, wow, this is one night. I was thinking maybe I don't have to cut, but that's just how he was wired, man. He was all about music. So, you know, I don't know what he might have tucked away in that vault, to be honest, because that's all we did. And he loved to jam. He was a hell of a guitar player, but he was a hell of a bass player. And I'm not so sure that he loved which one he loved more, but all I know is me on the drums and him on the bass. And we just must have hundreds of tracks like that, because we cut all the time. And then some of them surface and we layer them up, and they'd end up being songs, but some of them, you know, didn't get layered up. But, you know, there's some that did, and they're still in the vault. But I couldn't even tell you how much we did.
It's crazy. Now, when on the 1999 Super Deluxe, they put a version of International Lover with you on the drums, how was it like hearing that? Because that probably was like the first time in almost 40 years at that point that you heard that, right? Unless you had a secret copy stashed away. We don't need to talk about that.
I didn't. But listen, not only that, there's versions of me singing International Lover, you know, because that song was supposed to be the time song. Mm-hmm. So I actually sang that song, and he liked it a little too much. And, you know, so, you know, he took it. So, but yeah, not only me playing drums, but me singing and you name it, man. So there's just, that's, you know, kind of speaks to my point. I don't even know, you know, what's in the vault, but that's a good example. There's versions of me singing that song.
See, this is just why there's such a treasure trove of stuff that eventually, hopefully, will get out.
Yeah.
And work with you guys and stuff and have you be involved. Now, I'm told, I don't know if you heard, but supposedly, like, next year is the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain. Like, I don't know how that's right, because you're not 40. I'm not 40.
Yeah.
I don't know where the time went on it, but
right.
with that happening, because Purple Rain technically wasn't like a soundtrack, like your stuff, your guys' stuff was on Ice Cream Castles. I'm curious, would you like to see like an entire album where it's the Purple Rain soundtrack, including your songs?
That's a great idea. That's a great idea, man, because I think that would not only be good, I think it would be appropriate to do that, because, you know, in all fairness, you know, those are the soundtrack songs, you know, so to see them, and I've never thought of that. That's a great idea. And I might take that to Warner Brothers, you know, but I think that's appropriate, that in a way, you know, and it is how it should have been. And it wasn't. And so I like that. I think that would be awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever like, cause it was a little bit before COVID, it was showing January of 2020. Went to see Purple Rain in a theater with a bunch of people that haven't seen it before. And I really like seeing their reactions, especially younger generation kind of trips on some stuff. You ever done that to where you're like, oh, it's playing in a theater, huh? Let me go see the reaction. Or when's the last time that you actually saw it, like in a movie theater with a bunch of people that you haven't seen it with?
The last time I saw it in a theater with a bunch of people I haven't seen it with was 1984 at the Chinese Man's Theater in Los Angeles on Hollywood Boulevard. Wow. And I have not seen the movie in its entirety before that or after that. I've only watched it once.
All right.
Real talk. I've only watched a movie once. Now, I've come across it in flipping through channels in my leisure, if you will. And I watch a minute or two and I get a chuckle and I move on. But I've only watched a movie once in my lifetime.
Okay. Yeah. Can you say the same about Graffiti Bridge?
I might only watch half of that.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, and look, I miss you acting. I enjoyed you on New Attitude in the 90s. Like, I watch all those shows and they have in the summer. And you had Younger Lorenz Tate. Do you miss acting at all?
There was elements of it that I liked, but I'm not a good employee. Having to show up on a regular on a set, and having people shouting out, you know, be ready in 10 minutes, get dressed. We need him over here. We need him over there. It's not really my thing. I like the creative process. I'm just not a good employee.
You were good at it. I'll say that much.
Well, it was new to me. You know, I didn't, you know, it was just like Prince comes up. He's like, we're going to make a movie. I was like, okay. So I had no reason to believe it or doubt it or, you know, anything. I just looked up and next thing I know, these people from Hollywood, directors and cinematographers and all that shit was starting to show up. And I was like, this dude's serious, man. You know, the next thing I know, we're in acting classes, dancing classes, and I got kicked out of everything, you know, but, I had no idea. So it was just an innocent effort at that point.
Right. Now, going back to, I know we touched on this before, and I'm going to get Bob Cavallo on the show one time, just to clarify more.
Call me when you get Bob on.
Yes. We got to reach out. We got to get him on.
Yeah.
But I heard this thing, and I don't know if you can give me any background on it, but I just heard from people that even though Prince did the work, told the manager company, yo, you got to get me in the movies, that supposedly Warner Brothers was pushing back, that the Prince character of the kid was supposed to be portrayed by John Travolta. Any truth to that at all? Are you privy to that information?
I was not. You know, Prince was pretty secretive about the inner workings of things. You know, he was just like on the need to know basis, basically. You know, every now and then, if you caught him at a candid moment, you know, he might tell you some shit. But for the main part, I should say, you know, he kind of, you know, dealt with the behind the scenes, and he probably wouldn't want to tell me something like that, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, when the inception of the idea, and the whole process. I'm sure that all along he planned on him being in it. So that's right. Not something that I'm sure he would have openly wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I just, that rumor that comes around every dang year, I don't think there's some validity to it, but we're going to get to the bottom of it.
That would have been tragic.
Yeah, for real. Could you just imagine that? That's all I got to say about that. Now, this is what's been told, and it probably is true. When it came to the song Party Up, you know, Prince was going to pay you some money for that, or you put a band around you.
Yeah.
Now, that's how it went down? That's how the time came to be?
That's 100% true. You know, I, you know, had ventured off to, you know, kind of get on with my life after the band broke up. And, you know, Prince was doing his thing, and I'm doing odd jobs. I'm living out on the East Coast, and I'm listening to Prince on the radio and stuff like that. I'm like, damn, this dude's doing it. So, you know, I finally decided, you know, to move back to Minneapolis. I moved back and we hooked up right away. He was really happy to see me. And we just started hanging out. And I'm coming back. You know, it's up for, whatever people, however people want to look at it. But I'm like, I'm twice as good as Bobby Z on drums. I was like, I'm going to be a drummer. And so, you know, I come back and Prince is like, yeah, no, you know, he didn't bite his tongue about nothing. He's like, no, I have a drummer. I'm like, okay. He said, but, you know, if you want to hang out, he said, you can come out and video the shows or whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking that's better than the jobs I've been working. I get to, you know, travel and go to these hotels and these shows and all of that stuff. I said, I'll do it. So I videoed the shows. And so, you know, we get back, we're hanging out. A lot of times he go on business trips. I stay at his house, hold the fort down, you know, and so he said, you want to go in the studio, do whatever you want to do. So I fired up, you know, first song I cut was Party Up, really. And of course I did a slower, funkier version of it. And I didn't get around to layering the song. I just did basically bass and drums. And, you know, next thing I know, I get a call. He's like, you know, I like that song. He's like, he said, I want to cut it. He said, I want to, you know, use it. He said, I'll buy it from you. I don't know, $10,000. I don't even remember what he said. And he said, or I'll help you put a band together and help you get a record deal. And I'm like, bet. I'll take that. And then so next time he left town, I come across this VCR. I plop it in, and he's already recut the song. He's in the mirror playing the guitar, singing a whole different version of the song that I cut. So, and this was like maybe a day or two later. So obviously he already, you know, had thought this out and worked on it, you know, before he presented this proposition to me. But that's pretty much how that went down.
Craziness. I wonder where the archivist in me, that was. First off, I wonder what happened to those type of videos.
Exactly.
Hopefully we'll find out one day. Right. Someone had this question. I'm trying not to just read from the questions, but someone was asking, is that you by any chance on Irresistible Bitch playing drums? Because it sounds so close to Chlorine Bacon Skin.
It could have been me or could have been him. Because one thing, Prince was a great musician and he emulated my drum playing. So you know, I don't even know, to be honest. Like I said, we cut so much, I couldn't even answer that question. Could have been me, could have been you.
And now it comes to other stuff that you guys didn't create with him when it came to the album Condensate. Is someone I saw earlier today asked a question like, will we get any tracks from Condensate in your shows in the future? Maybe with the guys back, who knows? But they're asking, why no Condensate songs?
Well, let me think about that. There's Condensate songs. The song Condensate itself is not on there, but I'm pretty sure that we do some stuff from Condensate in the show.
Maybe trending. I know if I was your man, that's the jam still.
You know what? You're right. We don't. Yeah. You know what? I might have to put some of that in there. Yeah. Tell them I'm going to put some of that in there.
Right. I appreciate you having jerk out in there now.
Yeah.
Cut. You know,
yeah.
You have some of that funk of 777-9311 and Jungle 11. The Kid Can't Make You Come. But man, jerk out. I just remember seeing the first live performance of that on Arsenio. Man, you guys brought it for that.
Yeah, we destroyed that one, man. Yeah, you're right about that.
It was a good time for sure. Yeah. Into so many different things.
And he set it up too. He set it up proper.
Right?
Yeah.
Arsenio, he knew what he was doing back then and just having you guys. And that was like, that's what blows my mind. You guys have had all these hits. And Jungle Love, The Bird, but Jerk Out was the only top 10 pop hit. And I'm always surprised by that. You know,
and no one knows that. No one really knows that.
Right. I do.
Yeah, right.
If I pay attention to stuff like that, but it's just that. And then with Chocolate, is there, let me say this, music videos that you guys made with the time that may not have seen the light of day yet?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that there's any videos in the can. Now, songs, yeah, hell yeah. But videos, nah, we pretty much used all of those.
Right. That's just so interesting. You think about how many times you did stuff and then probably how much was left on the cutting room floor when it came to Graffiti Bridge and all that being filmed at Paisley for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
No, for real. That... To me, for me, just, you know, that was my problem with Graffiti Bridge. Purple Rain had a realness. It had, I mean, not in an urban way per se, but it had a street value to it. It was real, you know, and that was Graffiti Bridge was surreal. And that, you know, to me, was where that movie went wrong. I thought that Graffiti Bridge should have been really a Purple Rain kind of part two, and it should have had the same realistic value as far as the storyline, and, you know, not feathers floating out of the sky and obviously done on a soundstage. It didn't have that warmth and that realness. And, you know, that was my problem with it from day one, to be honest.
Now, wasn't Graffiti Bridge supposed to be a time vehicle to begin with, or was that all trajectory?
Listen, nothing, you know, that Prince did was, you know, if he was involved, then it was a Prince thing.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. You know, that's all that, you know, if he was involved, you know, it was somehow about him, you know, you follow that circle and at some point, guess what you get back to, you know?
Right. And we have Purple Legacy coming up and more shows.
Yeah.
We have this book that you guys need to get if you haven't gotten already.
Yeah.
A lot of these answers though are like, some stuff is in the book.
It's in the book.
We're talking about isn't.
It's in the book.
Is there anything after having this book come out that you're like, dang, I wish I would have put that in there. Is there a chance that there might be a sequel to this book?
Yeah, no, there's a strong chance because, you know, what I knew, even in embarking on that journey was that I had way too much to talk about to get on 200 pages. You know, it just, so, you know, we just had to kind of pick and choose what was going to go in the book and what wasn't. Or maybe I had to pick and choose because when I sat and David Ritz and I went through my memoirs, if you will, you know, it's just a lot of stuff I didn't even want to talk about because I knew, because he was so inquisitive that I knew I couldn't even like say certain shit to him because if I did, then I'm gonna have to tell the whole story or, you know, say, you know, I don't want to talk about that. So I just kind of really was selective about what I was willing to bring up. And I kind of just decided that before I even went into the room. And, you know, so, yeah, obviously, I mean, quite certainly, you know, there's enough for another book or two.
Book or two.
Yeah. No.
Go with it. That'd be great. Here's another thing. So when it comes to like Oak Tree, The Color of Success.
Yeah.
Man, okay. You'll have the CD, and the CD mastering back then was terrible. Anything we can do to get some of that stuff remastered or get it online to where when I'm trying to bump Oak Tree,
yeah,
on Sunset Boulevard,
yeah,
that don't sound clean.
That's a good idea again, man. I like talking to you. I might have to remaster, but you have to understand, you know, that was a different era, man. And you couldn't even get the type of bass response that is the norm now. You couldn't get that on an album. They just couldn't handle it. It would, and even in recording, we knew that your bass heavy songs had to be first mm-hmm. on the album. The closer you get to that middle, the less response that they could handle. So, I mean, and so it's just a whole different mindset and technology that's going on now. It wasn't all about bass. Back then it was more about clarity and treble. And remixing would be a good thing because now it's digital and you don't have to worry about getting close to the center of the record where the bass response is not gonna, it can't be as strong as early in the record. So, you know, it's always a good idea to remaster to match, you know, the current standards, you know?
Right. And just, I meant to ask this earlier, when we're talking about unreleased tracks, because I saw something in 1987 that there was a track for the time called Hot Summer. I don't know if that was something you guys recorded, if that ended up being My Summertime Thing and they got it wrong. Because, you know, there was something released later in his career called Hot Summer. But I don't know if there was maybe another song called Hot Summer, or from what you remember, it was just My Summertime Thing.
That's all I know, My Summertime Thing. You know,
that's what I figured.
Again, again, it could be. I don't know.
We'll just have to keep going through the vault and putting out stuff.
Stay now, tuned.
Yes. And I want to make sure next time when Rhino or whatever, they're putting out these reissues, they're going to be involved. Because I know last time, Here It Is, that project's coming out and you're having to put out on social media like, hey, we weren't even talked about with this. What's up with that?
Well, and that's exactly what happened. And I created a little bit of a stink behind that. And Warner Brothers was quick to, you know, get on the phone and apologize. And, I don't know how genuine it was because if I hadn't said nothing, you know, then they wouldn't have done nothing. So, I just always think it's good, you know, to have artists involved with anniversary projects, re-releases and so forth, you know, because guess what? You know, I know more about it than they'll ever know. And I always think that the input from the artists involved, you know, enhances it, you know, I think. So hopefully, you know, and I do believe they got some more things coming out. So hopefully, you know, I'm pretty sure they'll hit me up this time. They don't want to hear my mouth.
Yeah. What time is it for sure to have that done and whatnot? Now, someone had a good question. How did you come up with the concept of Princess Spirit talking to you in the book that you guys got to get if you don't have already?
Well, you know, good question. We wanted to have his presence. And so we're thinking, well, it would be way better to, you know, involve his voice rather than me telling the story myself. You know, so that was just kind of, you know, it just seemed to make more sense. And a lot of people seem to love, you know, that concept.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It was now, the 1983 show at First Avenue that ended up Jungle Love and the Bird being used for that for the film and for the album. We were able to see that at Paisley Park in 2019. Have you ever saw the footage of that First Avenue show? Because I enjoyed it a lot. Hopefully you were able to see a playback of it or something at some point.
Well, I don't know that I saw the playback footage from that show. You know, that was an interesting night for me. I left that stage, and there was a door right behind the stage, and my Porsche was parked right outside the door. I hopped in my car and I left the show, and then I turned around and I left Minneapolis and I never looked back. That was actually The Bird was the only song used on as far as a recording, live recording, but the footage from the show was used on the videos on both The Bird and Jungle Love. Mm-hmm. But the only song, you know, which is a credit to my band, you know, we're one of the few bands that really had a hit record that was a live recording. You know, there's Peter Frampton, you know, you got a few, but it's a handful of people, and we're one of those bands. So I think that's pretty incredible, you know, for me.
Right.
I think it's incredible. You were
definitely in a mood that show, and I've always heard about that you literally walked off the stage and went to your car, saw it. I appreciate you confirming that as real.
That was the last time they saw me. I was out of there, man. Burn out.
I can understand. Now, was that after the filming of the movie?
Oh, well, was it? No, it was not. You know, we actually, we did do some pickups in LA. Some of the scenes were Jerome and I are looking like in downtown area, walking and sidewalk and talking is actually Los Angeles, you know.
See, there it goes with those things of stuff that was put in that you're clarifying, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, well, of course, with LA, with it being winter, and I think that filming kind of started with Purple Rain in 83, like November.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. You know, I was getting 4, 5 o'clock a.m. wake ups and, you know, knee deep snow and freezing cold and going to the movie set and, you know, all of that kind of good stuff. And so it was absolutely, you know, it was crazy.
Right. That's why we're like, oh, we're going to have to film in LA. You're like, oh, no, let me look. Oh, it's supposed to be 70 there today.
Right. Twist my arm.
Right. It just goes on it. But this turned into a monster, you know, Purple Rain. And of course, the Grauman's Chinese Theater and all that, being part of it, seeing you on camera for that and whatnot. Just it is surprising. You only saw it that one time. But hey, it turned into this monster thing that was good for you, good for everyone. And you're able to do these different things, like, you know, that you became, at least maybe we didn't get what we wanted with Graffiti Bridge, but at least we got more of you on camera.
Yeah.
More of a reunion with the time and all the original members, you know, and just, that's what we would love to see. Is I hope that there's more footage in the vault of your live performances and other stuff. Since he was constantly filming it, I'm hoping that there might be more shows, whether it was at Paisley or First Avenue.
I'm pretty sure, you know, that there is, you know, because you figure we did the rave to the year 2000 or whatever it was called and a bunch of stuff like that. So I'm guessing that the estate's probably sitting on a good bit of unreleased material, if you will.
Just got to go through it. Get it out.
Yeah. Check.
Get that stuff going. Now, with the oak tree and whatnot, we saw Prince later on take a little bit of a jab that he was going to chop down that oak tree.
Yeah.
You were hearing about that or whatnot, like, oh, he's just being playful. Or did you think there was maybe a little bit more behind it? Or was that just Prince being Prince?
You know, in a way, it was, you know, a roundabout like flattery, because, you know, that just shows me that it got enough exposure and enough attention, you know, for him to even want to talk about it,
right,
or respond to it or whatever. So I just thought he was just trying to keep the little, you know, rivalry going, you know, that that we always kind of had, you know, creative rivalry.
Yeah, that's how I took it. Is, oh, he's talking about me. He's bringing attention to me. All right. Yeah. Do your little dance.
Yeah, I can't be mad at that. The peg leg or whatever that shit was he was doing.
leg. Yes. But we would be on it. I mean, I'm sure at least it was to that, and there wasn't a little stab or dance to fishnet.
Yeah. You didn't do that. Yeah, no, it was, you know, it was all love for me, man. You know, I was like, it just, you know, just inspired me to, you know, keep in. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, I kind of miss about the dude being here, to be honest, because, you know, if, you know, I wouldn't run things by him directly per se, but, you know, he would always, you know, have something to say about what I was doing or what I had done. And, you know, whether it was good or bad, you know, I just know he was watching and he was listening. And it was kind of just always kind of cool to know.
Right. And then you just have these things, so many things that were done. Was there any projects that you guys talked about that like, oh, dang, that'd be amazing, that didn't come to fruition and you wish would have?
It's in the book. No, listen, when we did that last thing at Paisley Park, you know, mm-hmm. It was a different Prince, man. He was, you know, just really telling me what he wanted to do. And,
right.
You know, he wanted to manage the band on our European tour and cut new music. And he was just really, really full of ideas and conversation regarding what he wanted to do. And, you know, so that was that, you know, that was 2 months before he passed away. So, but yeah, he was, you know, had a lot to say about stuff we should do and he would like to do.
Right. As you put it earlier, brother from another mother. Absolutely. I know he had love for you, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And just you being back in that place, why not? Even like the energy is different now, but at least you were able to be in there before.
Oh, yeah.
See that version of Prince.
Yeah. So yeah. There's spirit there, musical, you know, that's mm-hmm. It's always going to just kind of, you know, come into play. You know, you know, he's like the paint on the walls up in there. So, you know, there's a spirit that comes alive, I think. So it's always going to be a party if we do go there. But for me personally, it's double-edged because, like I said, you know, it's not the same. Now I look at it and it's like you see something very personal being turned into a very commercial situation, you know, and with gift shops and it's just different. It's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's got to be, unfortunately, because before he could walk in and that's what kept the lights on.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Yeah, and it was kind of like Dracula's castle back then because it was always dark and empty. And, you know, with the exception of the rooms that, you know, you were working in, you know, it wasn't like it is now with people everywhere that selling merchandise and all of that. So it's just, you know, it's just a different vibe.
For sure. Now, is there anything in your career? Because to me, you may be saying it's last call.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think it is. But, you know, for other things, is there anything in your career that you haven't done yet that you would love to do? Or have you checked almost all the boxes?
I've checked a lot of them. I feel like, no, you know, you're right. I'm not done. This is all that I know how to do. You know, I've pretty much gotten fired from any other job I've ever attempted. In life, and I was fortunate enough to be able to live the dream of doing what I did and what I love and earning a good living, you know, and being able to do that and, you know, wake up and think about that and go do that and not think about, oh shit, I gotta go, you know, go to this job and then try and do my music on the weekend. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff I want to do in this business. I just don't know that, you know, that I want to continue at the same pace and just do the same thing that I've been doing. So I, you know, when I say last call, I'm more saying what you're saying. I'm saying, you know, that I really, you know, want to do other ventures and spend time on being behind the scenes and just doing some creative ventures, you know, whether it be film or even, you know, music still, but just from another angle.
Right.
Yeah.
Question I want to know, just because of you guys growing up and you talked about his drive, determination, do you ever trip at all the things that he was able to accomplish, whether it's just the thing of like, we're going to do a movie, you're going to be my co-star, we're going to do this, from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Super Bowl? Do you just go, damn, like that kid made all that happen?
A lot. Yeah. I think about that a lot, you know, that's a determination on steroids, you know? So yeah. absolutely think about that.
Right. Someone asked this, and there's been a few. They said, please ask questions about Denise. Is there anything that you want to share about Denise Matthews, formerly Vanity? Anything that you'd like to share? It's up to you.
She's a beautiful person, man, inside and out. You know, she, you know, she was very creative, very fun person, you know, and I didn't know her, you know, super well. She kind of, you know, came along later on in the game, and as did many of those Prince renamed proteges.
Right.
You know, but you know, she was real cool. That's what I remember.
So you're able to keep the Morris Day moniker while other people had to change it, whether Eddie Minifield changed it to Eddie M, Sheila Escovedo to Sheila E, these different things. Or, you know, I don't think Morris Electric would have had the same vibe. Do you? I think Morris Day is.
Yeah, no, I think we kept it where it needed to be.
Right? For sure. And of course, you got Purple Legacy in Vegas. I hope to make it out there. And of course, always love to see you in LA and Paisley Park, especially the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain. I hope to see you back there and be involved with the 40th anniversary celebrations, the release, and other stuff. Hopefully there's already been talk. If there hasn't, hopefully it starts soon.
Well, Purple Legacy in Vegas, good point. I wanted to bring that up, 29th and 30th of September.
Yes.
You should be there because it's an easy trip for you to get there. So, you know, if you can, I'll understand. But it's going to be a party. You know, we're going to have special guests. You know, we're going to have a good time. It's going to be a show a little different from what the regular show goers get to see. You know, so we're just going to kick it up a notch and just, you know, have a lot of fun with it. So, you know. It's gonna be an event,
right? And people outside that are watching the video later on, you'll see a link for it, and I'm gonna put it up in the room right now. thestrat.com. That's where you get your tickets.
That's it.
That's the place to be. And I know that you have other shows coming up around the U.S., but that's gonna be where it's at. And we look forward, of course, to seeing you on tour, whether it'll be at Paisley Park, at First Avenue, or at Staples Center, excuse me, Crypto Arena now. We got to call it Crypt. The Crypt. Anyway, you know, because we always enjoy seeing you live. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to talk about, aside from how you're just going to kill it in Vegas?
Well, nah, you know what? You know, I think we covered it well. And, you know, anything else, you know, we talk about it on the next time around. How about that?
Exactly. I appreciate your time, making time for us. And I know how valuable your time is.
That sounds like a quote. Valuable your time. Sound like I heard that somewhere before.
Yes.
Yes.
See, to me, that's the line, but everyone's going to be like, what's the password? But I love that. And just the style behind it. Like, you ladies don't seem to understand how valuable my time is. But I appreciate your time, Morris. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
All right, my brother. Right. Appreciate you as well.
You soon. Definitely.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm going to do a little bit of an after show to just have some stuff. But Morris, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your patience dealing with some of my questions. But appreciate you guys. See you on the flip. Let people know about this. Thanks again for subscribing on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. Check us out. Make sure I'll drop in the donations link that we already have listed for you guys. But always appreciate it. Make sure to get those tickets to Vegas to see him. And again, we'll do a little bit of an after show to ask some questions, also cover some other stuff that has been going on. I'll just be me. Morris's time is valuable, as we talked about. He gave us time for that, and it's appreciated. And hopefully we're able to get to a majority of your questions you guys asked beforehand and some that were in the room. So we do our best. Till then, much love to Arlington. Much love to you guys. Keep it funky. And thank you, Prince. Much love.